morning, sweet, beautiful Texas. Some brand new stuff there from Charlie Robinson kicking things off for us on Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, presented by Hoff Power Polaris. I'm your host, Cable Smith. So glad to be here talking hunting, fishing, the great outdoors, and all that implies with you fine folks. So pour yourself another cup of coffee. Y'all know the routine. Pull up that chair just a little closer to the old campfire here, because we've got a lot to get into and not a lot of time to do it. So we'll kick things off here momentarily when a fellow Texan drops by. He's a fellow who's never short on energy or lacking in his passion for hunting. You might know him from the Outdoor Channel, but Razor Dobbs from Razor Dobbs Alive will be here momentarily, and we'll talk pig hunting, exotics, whitetails, Africa, even pistol hunting for big game with Razor coming up here momentarily. Then a very just absolutely incredible story from Washington State. An elk hunter by the name of Rod Noah actually shot two mountain lions with one shot. But get this, it wasn't from a rifle. It was from his bow and arrow. So absolutely incredible. But the thing is Rod only had one mountain lion tag. So Rod will be here to tell us all about that hunt and how everything played out with the game wardens. Once he told them exactly what happened, I mean, the odds of killing one mountain lion with your archery equipment are slim to none. But to kill two with one shot, just an incredible story. So we're looking forward to visiting with Rod and hearing all about that. Then we'll round out the broadcast by checking in with Lone Star Ag Credit's Mike Shelley, an old friend of the show. Land is something that all of us want as outdoorsmen and women. Hunters, anglers, you know, we all want that, whether it's to manage our own deer herd or try to grow big bass in our stock tanks. That's the goal for a lot of people. Land's the thing that they're not making more of, though. So Michael, join us. You know, it's not quite as hard to acquire land as you might think, and we'll get into all of that coming up at the bottom of the hour. A couple other things here off of the old Lone Star Outdoor Show news desk. I learned a very valuable lesson this past weekend. I wanted to share it with you guys. Just to make a long story short, I hunted in Montague County on the bow opener last weekend. Had a Pope and Young class 125 to 130 inch 8-point. I mean, this thing was absolutely massive. Got in the blind at 4 a.m. Didn't get out until 7:30, and it didn't even see a deer until 7 o'clock. And about that time, they started filtering out of the woodwork. And here comes the big boy that we had on camera. Sadly, though, I was feeling very exposed as the blind was not brushed in, and I decided to try to shoot through the, quote, shoot through mesh on this blind that I was hunting out of, this ground blind. Please, if you can avoid it, don't ever make that mistake. Yeah, it's advertised as shoot through mesh. It cost me a Pope and Young buck. Now, maybe I wouldn't have got a shot at this buck if I wouldn't have had the mesh down. That's entirely possible. But I made a clean miss. The mesh just created too much drag on the arrow, and it went under the buck, and I was shooting 100 grain, slick trick, broadheads, gold tip arrows, and blazer vanes. And the whole combination at 36 yards, which is what the shot was after I measured the buck off with a rangefinder, it was just too much. So steer clear of shooting through that mesh. Hopefully, y'all can learn from my mistake. And y'all all know that hunting, fishing, the great outdoors, that's my life. I mean, I live it every day. But no matter what, I'm never too proud to learn from my experiences. So anyway, it was a heartbreaking deal for me. I mean, this buck was beautiful. I'd been having dreams about him, and hopefully I'll get another crack at him this season. But anyway, don't shoot through that mesh. It ain't worth it. Something else to mention real quick, G&H Decoys, they're our official decoy sponsor. They make the best waterfowling decoys in the country. They're about the only American-made decoy left on the market. Anyway, we've got one of their motorized mallard hen waddlers. This is a decoy they've had on the market only for two seasons now. I hunted with three of these decoys every time I hunted last season, and they add incredible lifelike motion to your spread, especially on those calm days. And we all know how important motion is in a decoy spread, especially in the late season. I mean, trying to suck in those wary late season mallards can really be tricky. We've got one to give away. I'm going to encourage you to go to G&H Decoy's Facebook page. Just give them a like. Once we get them up to 3,300 Facebook likes, we're going to give this thing away. to one lucky waterfowler. And like I said, it's free. All you have to do is just go like their Facebook page, and your name is automatically thrown into the hat. So go ahead, like GNH Decoys on Facebook. Also, our October photo of the month grand prize is a guided two-man duck hunt with Wing Sport Depot out of North Texas. So just send us your best outdoor photos to LoneStarOutdoorShow@gmail.com for your chance to win. And remember that our 2013 Photo of the Year grand prize is an exotic buck / spring turkey guided hunt with me down at Coon Canyons Ranch in Rock Springs, Texas. So another great grand prize, another great Photo of the Month prize for our October contest. Send those photos in. Let's knock out a quick break. When we come back, we're talking exotics, pigs, pistol hunting, and a whole lot more with Razor Dobbs from Razor Dobbs Alive. You're listening to the Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show.
And them sad old songs coming out of them speakers was solid country gold. Then I noticed the stranger was ghost white pale when he asked me for a light.
Ed Hansen's Outdoor Adventures is East Texas' premier waterfowl guide service. Hunters enjoy great shoots on Lake Fork, Tewakinee, Cooper, and private areas, including flooded timber and private tanks throughout Northeast Texas. You'll also see amazing retriever work and a guide in Ed whose passion is putting you on birds. Also specializing in taxidermy and now offering guided deer, elk, and hog hunts on a 1,000-acre high-fence ranch in Wood County. And don't forget about spring snow geese as well. Call Ed at 903-521-4595 or visit HansenOutdoors.net to book your hunt today. Cable Smith here for Magnolite, a Texas-based lighting company that's been outfitting the United States military since the 1960s. Over the past decade, Magnolite has continued to support our troops, but now they have over 200 lights ideal for your hunting and fishing needs, like the 35-watt HID camouflage Go Light Striker with handheld remote. That's 15 million candle power in the palm of your hand, ideal for predator and hog hunting. They also have remote-controlled floodlights, feeder lights, and LED boat lights. So go Texan and go Magnolite. Check them out at www.magnolite.com for all your outdoor lighting needs. If you're in the market for a firearm, you need to know about STI International. Based out of Georgetown, Texas, they're 100% employee-owned and offer the best warranty and customer service in the business. STI is renowned worldwide for exceptional fit and function. The patented 2011 high-capacity system proved so successful in shooting competitions that over 80% of competitors used STI guns or pistols built on STI frames at the USPSA National Championships. To see their full line of premier pistols, visit STIGuns.com or check them out on Facebook at STI Firearms. STI, the continuing evolution of the 1911.
Hi, I'm Craig Boddington. I'd like to invite you to become a member of Dallas Safari Club, one of the world's leading hunting and conservation organizations. As a member, you'll receive Game Trails magazine, a monthly newsletter, and invitations to our monthly meetings and special activities. Join Dallas Safari Club, an international organization based in Dallas, supporting hunting and conservation worldwide. For more information, call 800-9-GO-HUNT or visit our website at www.biggame.org.
Uncle Ted Nugent bringing us back on Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. I'm your host, Cable Smith. Loved or hated, but never ignored. We do it every weekend, and we're about to talk some feral hogs, exotics, pistol hunting, and a whole lot more with one of the outdoor industry's biggest personalities. But first, this segment proudly brought to you by Lone Star Beer, who once again this season is partnered with Game Guard Camouflage to bring you the Lone Star Beer Camo Can. So grab a 12-pack on your way to the deer lease this season, and don't forget to register to win the Lone Star Beer Hunting Sweepstakes. Just go to their Facebook page. It's free to register, and you could win the Lone Star Beer Game Guard Camouflage 4-Wheeler. Lone Star Beer, the national beer of Texas. Well, let's go ahead and welcome our first guest today. He hosts one of the most entertaining and full-throttle shows on Outdoor Channel. His passion for big game hunting is matched by very few. And so it's my pleasure to welcome Razor Dobbs from Razor Dobbs Alive to the program.
Well, thank you, Cable. It's great to be on this radio show.
Well, we are certainly glad to have you, man. And you know, bow season has arrived, and you told me off the air that you were just up to your eyes with editing stuff to do for your show. So have you been able to get out and knock an arrow yet?
Yeah, well, see, I do this to myself every year. Out here where we live, there's all these axes running around. And so early in the spring and summer when I should be editing, so I'm totally clear for the opener of bow season, I'm hunting axes, and I'm doing all kind of building stands, and I'm doing everything I possibly can, and then I have to crash. And so right now I am editing. I'm burning the midnight oil, you know, up 4:30 a.m. and doing all that insanity. But it's worth it. It's cool, and I'll get plenty of hunting in. I'm not worried about it.
Well, that is for certain, no doubt about it. Razor, you guys live outside of Kerrville, Texas, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we live outside of Kerrville. Yeah, we live on a little ranch out here, and my wife and I, Sylvia, and it's a dream come true. I have just, you know, wonderful family, and we have wonderful place to hunt and do a television show, and it's a blessing. It's all it is. It's a blessing.
Right on. And yeah, that is a truly amazing part of the state. In addition to an incredibly high whitetail density, like you said, free-ranging axis deer, tons and tons of hogs, and one of my favorite critters, black buck. Do you guys have any of those running around?
As a matter of fact, I see a small herd of black buck cruising through the brush now and again, and then across the river from us, there's a bunch of black buck. So I keep on trying to rattle the feed bucket louder and louder, trying to draw them in over here. But right. but they're wiry little guys, and you know, just like the rest of the hill country, they'll be here, and then we'll be going, God, there's too many of them, you know, just like the axes.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I love the, you know, there's black buck here. One time on my father-in-law's place next door, an elk walked up.
Wow.
And yeah. And of course, you know, down here there's Oddad cruising around and everything.
Uh-huh.
Now, I haven't seen an Oddad on our place yet, but when I do, you'll probably see a picture of it.
I'm sure that I will see a trophy shot of that. But hey, Razor, you know, I've read your bio. I know a little bit about you in addition to what I've seen on Outdoor Channel, and know you from Texas Bowhunter a little bit as well. But most of our listeners probably don't know much about you and your background. So tell us a little bit about how you ended up where you are.
Yeah, cool. Well, you know, I grew up just like most Texans, you know, I mean, somewhat rural Texans. Grew up in Kerrville, and my grandparents have a ranch outside of Kerrville, and so I spent tons of time out there, and I shot my first deer when I was 8, and every year we shot tons of deer out there, processed it ourselves with my whole family, my cousins and grandparents and aunt and uncles. And we pretty much ate venison. Probably 90% of our food was venison for the rest of the year. And that's just how we grew up. Mm-hmm. Hunting wasn't really like a big adventure thing. It was just what we did, you know? And so when I was about, I guess it was my first year of college at Texas Tech, something happened and I got really into hunting. And that's when I really got into bow hunting. I guess that's what really kicked it off. Hmm. And I got really, really into it. And about that time, I met Ted Nugent. And he even got me more fired up about it. And it was off to the races. And I knew right then what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. And that was do a television show. And at that time, there wasn't even an outdoor channel.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So, I found an old editing deck, and back in those days, the digital editing was just starting, but I didn't have that capability. So I was on one of those old reel decks, you know, doing it the old-fashioned way, and I edited up these shows, and then I aired them on cable access at 11 o'clock on Tuesday nights. And they, if you think my show now is a little kooky, you should have seen those shows, because there was absolutely no laws. I could do anything I wanted. And, it was so fun. And I did radio like what you're doing, not on the scale you're doing, but I did everything. And I just literally ate, slept, and breathed hunting. That's all I thought about. That's all I did. In the summers, I'd come home and work at my grandparents' ranch. Every day, I would be out hunting after work, hunting pigs, and just learning the all the things about bow hunting and getting my butt kicked, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I just learned and learned and learned. And that was pretty much, you know, what I did. And then when I graduated, my parents were going to buy me a truck, a brand new pickup truck. And I told them, keep the truck, let me go to Africa. And they thought I was nuts. And back then, I mean, here, everyone goes to Africa now, but back then it wasn't that big. I mean, it was a real big deal. Not that many people went. And,
that is kind of nuts, just by the way. I mean,
yeah. I mean, when they heard me say that and I showed them how much it was going to cost, they were like, well, this is a heck of a deal, you know? And so I went to Africa, and I ended up going with Ted, and it changed my life 100%, that trip to Zimbabwe. I came back with a new plan.
Hmm.
I knew exactly what I was going to do, and I was just more determined then.
Well, I would say you probably get the comparison to Ted a lot, just in how excited you guys both are. I mean, you see Ted sitting in a tree stand. He shoots a doe, and it's whether it's a doe or it's a trophy buck. He doesn't care. He's the same level of excitement for everything.
Right.
And I think that people see you and you kind of generate that same excitement level. You're pretty gung ho about it, which is a fresh take on hunting shows. We see a lot of them are sometimes seem pretty generic, but obviously, you spend Africa. You grew up hunting in Kerrville, whitetails your entire life. So, big game is your passion. What is your favorite quarry to hunt?
You know what? I don't know.
Anything with a pulse?
yeah, really. I mean, it's funny because I like hunting everything. I'm not a big bird hunter, or anything like that. I like to do it, but I mean, like, if you had to pick Africa. My favorite thing to hunt there is buffalo. It's just the coolest hunt in the world. But back here at home and in the real world, I like to hunt pigs. I mean, that I guess, when I grew up, I didn't even shoot a deer over 120 until I was probably 25 years old or something. Mm-hmm. You know, when growing up, I shot does and spikes and all that. You know, I didn't get to shoot any big. I got to shoot lots of deer, but nothing big. But I got to shoot as many pigs as I wanted, and I became fascinated with them. I learned how to really hunt wild pigs that have a lot of pressure, and they are, I think, to this day, I mean, if someone said, man, you can only shoot one animal, only hunt one animal for the rest of your life, I would probably have to pick pigs.
Right on. Well, you've actually had a pretty close call with a wounded wild boar.
Oh, yeah.
And now, just backing up, though, there is some pretty sweet footage of an elephant charge in Africa that I have seen, and that was a pretty hairy experience. But, you know, when you talk about pigs, people say, oh, yeah, sometimes they attack, but, you know, most people don't ever experience that.
Right.
Were you actually fearful for your life with this wild boar that you'd wounded?
Yeah, it was wild, and, you know, I've hunted pigs, like I said, tons of them, and I've only had a couple of occasions where they kind of charge like a wounded one, but usually they kind of come and then they veer off, you know, they turn off, And, but nothing, it's not like a Cape Buffalo, you know, or anything like that. And, but we were hunting it was a bunch of friends were up at this ranch, and me and another guy named Josh were hunting. It's a long story, but when we got up to this pig that we had both made poor shots on, which was horrible, but it happens. This thing came at me in a blink of an eye, and it was all just reflex, and it hit me. I had my bow in my hand with my release on my string, and I was only like 10 yards away from it, and it came out of the bush and hit me in the legs and threw me in the air. I landed on my back, and by this time, I had my gun out, my 10mm out, and I'm shooting. And when I land, I'm on my back, and this thing is still coming. It's right there in my face. And I'm it's like a dream where you just, you're sitting there shooting and shooting and shooting, and his head's going side to side, and he will not leave or die. And that was, to me, and I finally, I mean, he died on my feet. And I was hitting him all over the head, but I wasn't getting the brain. And I finally got him right above the eyeball, and he fell. And I would have never even told anybody that story if there wasn't someone there to witness it, because it really was, you know, just insane. And that was more scary than the elephant charge, in my opinion.
Man.
and I came out, I mean, I had thorns. I was covered with, because I landed like in a cactus patch. I had thorns all over me, and I was just fried. I was fried for the rest of the day. I was just, I mean, it was pretty wild, you know?
Yeah.
And, it, you know, you've hunted pigs with dogs, and you've seen, you know, what a pig can do to a dog with one swipe.
Oh, I've seen one get its throat slashed wide open.
Yeah. I mean, all it takes is one brush. And he hit me in the legs. That's how he threw me. And I really thought that I was going to be slashed. And he ripped my pants up my leg on the shin and literally just shaved the skin off that leg bone. I mean, it was freaking crazy. So that was pretty wild. And, you know, and I was hitting him in the head with the 10 millimeter, which is massive amounts of energy.
Yeah.
And I think that he was so ticked off and so full of adrenaline himself that he just was going to kill me. And that's probably one in a million, but that happens, but it happened.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was pretty dang cool.
You know? Well, this segues perfectly into what I want to talk about next. And I was just reading on your bio where you mentioned that your passion for hunting, you believe, will eventually get you killed.
Well, yeah, that was part of it. That was a long time ago, not too long ago, but
last week.
Yeah, no. Yeah. There was a lot of crazy stuff that was going on. And let me state right here, I am not one of those guys. I don't want to instigate a charge from an animal. I do not try to create that situation by any means, because it's stupid.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's dumb and it's stupid. But for some reason, for about 5 years around there, I was attracting stuff like that. And it was really nuts. And I really thought, I'm eventually going to get killed by hunting. It's going to be the end of me, whether my obsession with it or something. And I've changed my thought process on that a little bit. Other than maybe my obsession with hunting will get me killed, I'll just forget to breathe one day or something.
Well, Razor, we do need to knock out a quick commercial break here, but I still want to get into some more stuff with you. Specifically, I know that you're really into hunting big game with a pistol, and that's something that is very fascinating. I'd like to talk about that a little bit. Are you cool to stick around for another segment?
Absolutely. I'm here.
Perfect. Well, that segment, by the way, proudly brought to you by STI Guns. They're Texas-made and Texas-owned, based out of Georgetown. They have a full line of 1911 and 2011 style pistols in all calibers, so check them out at STIguns.com. And do what I did. Go Texan. Go STI. Y'all stick around. We'll be right back with more from Razor Dobbs of Razor Dobbs Alive, only on Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show. Ben Lofton Fencing is Texas' premier fencing company. They apply a design it right, build it right the first time mindset to all projects. And with 15 plus years experience, there's no job they won't tackle. Ben Lofton Fencing specializes in deer and exotic game fences, breeder and handling facilities, water gaps, as well as farm and ranch fences, and corrals and working pens. Better Business Bureau certified, they offer the quality and personal service you expect. So for your next fencing project, go Texan and call Mr. Lofton himself at 254-709-1320 or visit benloftonfencing.com. Do you have a hog problem at your ranch or deer lease? We have the solution, the System Hog Trap, Comes in two sizes, 17-foot and 30-foot diameter traps. After you trap the hogs, take the top section off the trap and use it for another feeder site to keep the hogs away from the feeder. The system is both a trap and a deer food plot fence. That way you don't waste your money on just a hog trap. Call 940-391-3669 or visit www.goinfencing.com. That's goinfencing.com.
Hey, North Texas sports fans, this is Brian Spagnola, General Manager of Texas Motor Cars in Addison. My family's been in the car business for over 50 years, and I want to show you the difference in buying from a family-owned and operated business. TexasMotorCars.com is an awesome website that lets you do virtually all of your shopping online. We have a professional photographer that takes amazing photos, and we give you all the information that you'll need up front. You can even find out how much we will give you for your trade-in before you ever come in. I take pride in the fact you can come in, choose a car, and be out in less than an hour. We have financing rates starting at 1.79% on pre-owned vehicles and can help almost anybody. Please do yourself a favor. If you're in the market for a pre-owned vehicle of any kind, give us a shot. Let me show you how easy buying a vehicle should be. Visit TexasMotorCars.com or come visit our 20,000 square foot indoor showroom in Addison. Again, visit TexasMotorCars.com or call us at 1-888-9-TX-MOTORS.
The new Bobcat utility vehicle is here at Bobcat of Dallas and Fort Worth, and it's hungry. Get ready to work like an animal and love it. Powerful, ultra-comfortable, and sure-footed, this lineup of vehicles delivers legendary Bobcat performance, so you can sink your teeth into a wide range of jobs. With twice the horsepower, 1,850 pounds of payload capacity, and four-wheel independent suspension, you will love it. Stop in at Bobcat of Dallas and Fort Worth to see for yourself.
I'm Dave Spies from Gunnett on Sportsman's Channel, and you're listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Till I turn green to brown, but I never wanted to leave this town. Oh, Austin's been a friend of mine. Texas without a town.
Brand new stuff there from the Band of Heathens. Won't hear that one anywhere else, folks. Texas is the name of that one off the new album Sunday Morning Record. I'm Cable Smith, by the way, welcoming everybody back to Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris. We're about to pick it back up with Razor Dobbs, host of Outdoor Channel's Razor Dobbs Alive. But first, this segment proudly brought to you by Sendero Seed Company, Texas premier seed company, offering everything you need to keep a healthy and happy whitetail herd, like the Dr. Deer-backed Buck Forage Oats. So check them out at senderoseed.com or call my buddy Rob at 1-877-610-SEED today. Well, let's go ahead and jump back into it here with Razor, who was nice enough to stick around through the commercial break. And Razor, one of your other passions happens to be big game hunting with your pistol. Now, I've never harvested an animal with my STI pistol, but I imagine that the adrenaline rush is very similar to bow hunting because you still have to get incredibly close to that animal.
Yeah, well, first, let's get this straight. There's nothing as intense as bow hunting because, you know, so close encounter, and then you have to get the full draw. It is, you know, as you know, it's not the shot. It's actually getting to full draw. Because all the movement, there is a little noise there, and that is the crucial point of bow hunting, and that's what separates the boys from the men. Anybody can hit a spot at 15 yards, but who can get the full draw and without losing their mind? But handgun hunting is just the same, except you don't have all of that movement. So it's not any easier, but you don't have that movement, but it's still very close. And I've shot some animals that pretty far out there, but that's rare occasions. I like them 15 to 25 yards.
Mm-hmm.
But how I got into it was when right before I went to Africa in 95 with Ted, he told me, he said, get a 10 millimeter. And he told me which one to get. He says, get it. And I didn't even know anything about a 10 millimeter. I had a 357 Magnum, and I bought one, and I started reading up on it, started shooting it, and I was like, man, this ain't no 45, and this sure isn't a 9mm. This is, like, serious. And so I had a license back then, and I carried it everywhere I went, and then I decided, hey, man, I'm going to hunt with this thing. And I noticed that when I shot it off the sandbag, I mean, I was flat shooting past 50 yards. And so I just started, this is back in the 90s, you know, and I was hunting with it then. And I thought, man, this is pretty wild.
Mm-hmm.
And it put a whole new aspect. And now with the show, I mean, I hunt with it. But someone said, man, you ought to hunt with it on the television show. And I went, duh, you know. And then Dan Wesson, which is a sponsor of the show, thank God that they're a sponsor of the show because they make the best 10 millimeter, their Razorback 10. I mean, it's so sweet. It is a night and day from what I was shooting before. And what I was shooting before is a fantastic handgun, but it's for a different application. It's more combat oriented, uh-huh. You know? And that Dan Wesson, oh shoot, it improved accuracy, you know, 50 to 100%. I mean, it's just incredible.
And so is a 10 millimeter the minimum caliber that you'd recommend for pistol hunting?
No, I mean, you know, you can hunt with a 357 Magnum. You know, you could hunt with a 40 caliber. It all just depends on what you're hunting. Like in the hill country with these deer around here, you could kill them with a 40 caliber.
Mm-hmm.
But you better hit them great, you know, and that's just like everything, and you hit them good. But, you know, to me, it's like, just get the 10 millimeter. Number one, it is a wonderful self-protection caliber, and then you can hunt. I mean, you can use it on bear if you have to, you know. It's just night and day, and that's what I recommend. And I really can't really, I can recommend the 357 because I've shot hogs with that. But I really can't recommend a lot of the calibers because I haven't hunted with them.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know just by looking at ballistics, you know, maybe not, you know.
Right, right. Well, very cool stuff there. It's that's something that I'm interested in. And I know that STI, they've got, they're one of our sponsors, and they've got a great
mm-hmm.
Ted Nugent Perfect 10.
Yeah.
See if they can send me one of those bad boys next season. But
yeah, you got to get one, man. I mean, I'm telling you.
Well, you
cool.
both, you and him both have said that, so I think I'm gonna have to look into that for sure. But
he turned me on to that gun, and we've shot lots of hogs together with that, and it's unbelievable, man. I mean, it really is. But yeah. It's just like anything, you've got to learn how to shoot it. It takes a lot. I was shooting this morning and you know, literally practicing. I mean, I'm setting everything up and I'm just trying, because you have to be so smooth. One little bitty hiccup, one little defocus, you know, with the short barreled handgun like that with open sights, you throw your shot off 2 feet, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. There's no doubt. Well, it's kind of like archery, you know, one little hiccup and you've
right.
gut shot the deer instead of, you know, putting it right on his vitals. So
exactly.
But hey, man, I did want to give you a chance to let any of our listeners who aren't familiar with your show definitely mm-hmm. let you promote that. It airs on Outdoor Channel, and I believe it's on. I've got it set on the DVR, so I never know what time stuff's coming on. I just know my favorite shows. I believe it airs on Friday nights, though.
Yes, it's Friday nights, and if we're talking Texas time, it's 8:30 Friday nights. And 4 p.m. Monday afternoons, and then like Friday at midnight, something, you know,
right?
Something crazy, but which is cool because that's usually my time to watch TV anyway. But
yeah.
But the Friday night slot, it's been very good. And Outdoor Channel, you know, we came from NBC Sports and Versus, and Outdoor Channel signed a deal with them, and they've been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So and you know, it was funny because, you know, it's incredibly tough to get on the Outdoor Channel now, really tough. And I didn't know if they would be even interested in the show because it's off the wall in certain respects. You know, it's not the normal hunting show. And a guy from the Outdoor Channel called me about something and said, man, you know, submit it, do this, and did. And they loved it. And then they said, no, it's different. It is good. It's personality driven. It's different. It's a different aspect, different perspective. And we need all kinds of perspectives. We need the you know, we need the how-to shows. We need the more serious shows. We need the adventure shows. We need the off-the-wall shows. You know, you need it. You need the whole package.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we do. And when I worked for many years, I worked shooting and editing and film producing for other television shows. And before I got my own show, and I was looking at a lot of these shows, and I was building what I wanted to do. And what I wanted to do was just do my own thing. I had all these crazy ideas of what I wanted to do and have fun with it. And that's what I did. And every episode I turn in, I go, well, maybe this off-the-wall episode may be the one that pushes everything off the cliff. You know what I mean? But then it airs, and I get the response, and people dig it. And it's wonderful because I like doing different kinds of shows, you know? I like doing entertainment. And hunting to me is so fun, and there's so much stuff going on. And if you just put a little twist to it here and again, it can even make it better. Because that's all we need is watching another deer being shot out of a tree, because it's all over the place.
Oh, man.
Don't even get me started on that.
And then they judge us for hunting over corn, but they're hunting over a cornfield. It's the same damn thing.
And that I mean, and, you know, we can go on. It gets crazy. It gets so nicked. Picking and all this kind of stuff. And here's my philosophy. I follow the rules. I follow my passion, and I do what I want to do. And as long as I'm not, you know, trying to hurt somebody specifically, unless they deserve it or anything, I'm fine. And that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. I have my dreams and my passions. And if it fails, it fails. But I will never, ever, ever compromise what I want to do, my dreams, my ideas, just to conform to the masses, because they'll make everybody else happy but you.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately your show will go away, because if your show is just a normal show and just kind of a, you know, kind of the average thing, it's going to go away. It's a business. And you know, if my show ever goes away, which it doesn't look like it is, it's the fourth season, I'm going to just go hunting, you know? So,
yep. Living the dream, man. That is for sure. And, well, and obviously everything you just referenced is why your show has been so successful. Y'all check it out. Friday nights, 8:30 Central, set your DVRs, and RazorDobbsAlive.com, and then also check out your Facebook page as well. And last thing I'm going to ask you, man, is, and I almost forgot, but the name Razor, like, my actual God-given name is Cable. I mean, and people are like, you got to be kidding me, that's a nickname, right? No, that's actually on my birth certificate. What about the name Razor?
Yeah, well, my dad gave me that name when I was about 3 years old. And that's my name. It's on my checks, my credit cards, everything.
Cool.
And my dad is a you know, a football coach, and real conservative guy, and he gives his son the name Razor. So it's pretty cool, I guess.
Hey, I think it's awesome. But you know, I thought maybe it was because of your affinity for broadheads, and you know, you're pretty adept at flinging those things, and they're razor sharp. So I thought maybe that was it.
No. And you know, I get that a lot. But I didn't even think my dad even knew what a broadhead was when he gave me that name. But it just stuck, you know.
Pretty cool, my friend. Well, hey, Razor, it's been great getting to visit with you, man, and just getting to know you a little bit. We certainly appreciate it, and we wish you the best of luck this season.
Hey, thank you as well. And thanks for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
All right, there he goes, the great Razor Dobbs from Razor Dobbs Alive. Let's knock out a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Washington State elk hunter Rod Noah, who last month killed two mountain lions, get this, with one arrow. An absolutely phenomenal story. And Rod will recount the whole hunt coming up next, only on Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show.
Crazy moon, keep on shining down. We'll sing a song. Crazy moon, we won't let you down. There's nothing that we wouldn't do.
BioBore EB is the premier gasoline additive that combats the negative effects ethanol has on an engine. Its comprehensive formula is designed to protect marine engines and marine environments, yet also works great in all 2- and 4-stroke engines. It prevents phase separation and ethanol-related engine problems while stabilizing fuel for 18 months. BioBore's detergents also clean the entire fuel system of carbon and varnishes. BioBore EB has the best treat rate in the industry. 1 ounce treats an amazing 15 gallons of gas. Available at your local sporting goods store or visit BioBore.com today.
Cinnamon Creek Ranch is not your typical archery club. It's a one-of-a-kind archery facility with indoor and outdoor ranges, a full pro shop, and 6 different 3D courses. Cinnamon Creek was designed by hunters for hunters, located on 80 acres in Roanoke, Texas, and offering over 200 3D targets to shoot at. This one-of-a-kind event facility was designed with the bow hunter in mind. Call 817-439-8998 or visit us at cinnamoncreekranch.com. That's cinnamoncreekranch.com.
Howdy folks, I'm Lee Hoffbauer for Hoffbauer's Outdoor Superstore in Gulfway, Texas. We hope you love listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show, because we do, and we're proud to be a title sponsor. Now listen up, we here at Hoffbauer Outdoor Superstore have got some great deals for you folks that love the great outdoors. Whether you're needing a brand new Polaris ATV or maybe a Polaris Ranger to ride around, check your deer feeders, get to and from the deer blind, maybe to get you down to the dove patch, whatever your needs are, we can fix you up with a brand new Polaris today. Now we're also a New Holland tractor and equipment dealer. Now I'm just speculating, but maybe you need a new tractor and shredder to shred around your deer blinds, maybe clean up around deer camp, or maybe even shred a few lanes in the old sunflower patch. Now, we've got lots more than just Polaris and New Holland, so come check us out today, Hoffbauer's Outdoor Superstore in Gulfway, Texas. You can check us out on the web at hpolaris.com. Better yet, just come see us. Highway 84 West in Gulfway, Texas, and in Central Texas for over 48 years now. And folks, we couldn't have stuck around this long. We were steering you wrong.
Hey folks, Cable Smith here for Velasco Energy. Stop busting your back with post hole diggers, shovels, backhoes, and outdated equipment, because it's time to put the power of hydro excavation from Velasco Energy to work for your company. Specializing in oil and gas, commercial construction, municipal utilities, electrical, mechanical, telecommunications, land-based drilling, trench lines for pipelines, or even simple post holes, Velasco has you covered. The bottom line is time is money, and you'll save both by visiting VelascoEnergy.com or calling 1-800-516-8480 today to get started working smarter and not harder.
This is David Faherty, and thanks for listening to the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
I go full Verado, and I'll be 3 sheets to the wind, and I'll pay tomorrow. Tonight it's just me and Jim Beam. I gotta get a handle on my handle, cause it's killing me.
Handle on my handle's the name of that one from Aubrey Lynn England, bringing us back on Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered, of course, by Hoffpower Polaris. I'm your host, Cable Smith. Thank you so much for sharing a part of your weekend with me. I sincerely appreciate it. This segment of the program is proudly brought to you by a Texas-based company who's been outfitting Texas hunters and anglers with the best outdoor gear for over 10 years, and I'm talking about Foreverlast. Check out the new Varmint Guard Feeder, whose unique leg design keeps those pesky raccoons out of that precious deer corn. So visit a local dealer or check them out online at foreverlast.com, and you'll save 15% off your entire order when you use the Lone Star Outdoors Show keyword deer. That's deer when you shop online at foreverlast.com. Well, as y'all know, from time to time, we'll get the average Joe on our show who happens to have something absolutely incredible happen to him in the outdoors. It could happen to you, it could happen to me, it could happen to any one of us. But today, we're going to visit with Washington State hunter Rod Noah, who in September was hunting elk with a buddy, and he had something absolutely insane happen. Rod, thank you so much for checking in with us today.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, Rod, I know that work has taken you all the way to Anchorage, Alaska. That's where you're joining us from this morning. What's the weather like up there, man?
It's actually a nice day today. It's like sunny and 50 degrees.
Wow. That sounds absolutely perfect, man. Now, I know that you are a native of Chatteroy, Washington. Is that how you say it?
Yep, that's how you say it.
Okay, and you're a big elk hunter. You archery hunt every fall.
I do.
Awesome, awesome. Have you killed any nice bulls?
No, I've killed it, not huge, but, you know, I'll take whatever comes out first.
Uh-huh.
I'm really for the meat. I can't eat those horns, so.
Right.
But, Next year, I think it's going to be all bull, though. This year was tough. It was a tough year this year.
Yeah.
It was hot like you guys got it down there.
Right.
Really
right.
Hot, like 95 degrees, and there was just all these bees, too. There's these yellow jackets. They're like one yellow jacket per, like two yellow jackets per square foot up there. So the whole forest sounded like a beehive.
Wow.
It got affected the whole thing, so.
Well, I read about your story on OutdoorHub.com, a great outdoor resource, and I think it was the spokesman review that originally reported it, so we do want to give them credit. But anyway, I knew that I had to track you down, and just a little background, part of your annual ritual before the season is to pick up a mountain lion tag when you get your elk tag.
Combo tag.
Okay, and so how many years have you been doing that?
Forever. Forever. They sell the combo tag, and it's not that much more money, so they give you the deer, the elk, the bear, and the cougar. So I've been doing that for forever. Never used one.
And you'd actually never even seen a mountain lion in the wild?
No, I've never seen them. I know they're there, but no, I've never seen one. This one caught us by surprise.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I'm going to be a little more aware next time when I'm doing the cow call.
Yeah, I'd say so, man. Because that all changed a couple weeks ago when you and a buddy were calling elk and inadvertently called in a pair of cougars. And I guess you were making the cow call. So did you see them both immediately, or how did that all play out?
No, I didn't see them. Actually, my buddy was on the right. He's about 40 yards to the right. I was actually calling for him because the wind was kind of coming towards me and up. So I was really, calling for him. But he actually seen them first. He didn't quite know what they were at the get-go, but then he figured out what they were. Then he could see they were coming right to me, so he wasn't sure that I'd seen them. So now he's thinking, how am I going to warn them or whatever, But then I finally seen it, I was on my knees. I thought it was a deer or something, a little deer, because, I never even wild of dreams thought it would be a cougar. I mean, anyhow, I thought it was a little deer coming, because it was a clear cup, and it was overgrown, and, dead falls here and stuff, little dips and stuff. But anyhow, when he raised his tail, I go, that's not a deer. And that's when I stood up, and that's where the smaller, what it turned out to be the smaller one, he was behind the bigger one, but he jumped down around this big tree to the right and into the brush. So I thought he booked out of there, and I didn't see him again. And then the big one, he just took a step and then turned broadside, was looking straight at me. And he didn't seem too concerned, but I was standing by that time, and then I grabbed my reins for it, and I reined it. And he was watching me the whole time. And 32 yards, I'm going, I'm gonna shoot this thing. And that's where I pulled down on it, I shot it, and I was using one. This is the first year we've been able to use those glow knocks down here.
Mm-hmm.
And, that thing took off like a flare, and it smacked that thing really hard. And then that knock, I think, flew off because it went flying through the air or something. And then all heck broke loose, and that took off to the left and whatever. I thought I seen the tail of the other one going the other way, and then my buddy Ben come over, and I go, "Do you see that?" He goes, "Yeah." I go, "That's pretty cool." So we're all going, "Whoa," and then we waited a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, tracking a wounded cougar possibly with a stick and string doesn't sound like a very fun thing to do.
No, but we're allowed to pack a gun now, as long as you got a carry permit, which I did. And so I did have a firearm on me. But, it was still kind of hairy.
Yeah.
And, so I get down to where I shot, and I knew the one that I hit had run kind of towards the left and down, and then I lost sight of him. But so we got down there, and I immediately started going to the left, the way I thought it ran. And then Ben was right there. He said, "Oh, there's blood right here. Go straight down." I go, "What?" So it really didn't make too much sense, because I'm trying to put it all back together and say, how'd that happen? But I kept going to the left. I couldn't find any blood that way, and I finally met back up with Ben, and I followed the blood down to where the end of the clear cut was. And I'm looking around, and there I seen the cougar laying to the left underneath this kind of little bit of brush there. And then I thought, as soon as I seen that cougar, I go, huh, where's the other one? So I brought my gun out. I go, Ben, get your gun out, because I don't know where that other cougar went. You know, I don't know if it took off or if it's still here. I'm looking up at the trees. I'm looking. I thought, you know, it could still be around there, you know.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, but then that kind of went to the wayside. And then we're looking at this thing going, huh, now what do we do? You know, it's like we never shot a cougar. I didn't know what you're supposed to really do. You know?
Right.
Am I supposed to get this thing out or what? And, well, that's where I go, do you know a taxidermy? He goes, yeah, I got one up here in Kettle Falls. So we got him on the phone. And I asked him, well, what am I supposed to do with this thing? he goes, you know what? Just bring it in as is. I go, cool. I go, okay, that's what we'll do. And so we drug it back up to where we shot, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we took pictures and high-fiving and, you know, all the good stuff. And then Ben started looking. He says, where'd you hit the thing? I go, it's broadside, perfect. And he looked and says, this thing shot right in the middle of his chest. I go, what? That's when I started, like, thinking back, just trying to picture how I'd shot this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, there's just no way. There's no way. This thing was looking straight side, broadside, looking right at me. So I go, I think there's another cougar down there. I go, oh, yeah. Then we went back down there. I went back down the way I thought it ran. I thought I was going to find it over that way. And then I couldn't find no blood. And then I go, you know what, man? I think they just met up and went the same way. So I went right back to where we found the first one. And about another 15 feet down the hill, here's this other cougar laying between these two trees, dead.
Wow.
That's when the mood changed.
To high fives or oh crap.
Yeah, like yeah. Now what do we do? Right? You know, we both knew it's not cool to shoot two critters with one arrow, one bullet, anything. But, you know, so now we're thinking, well, now what do we do? You know, we started thinking we tag it and we do this and we go, you know, we just it just wasn't right, and I didn't feel I did anything real wrong. I mean, I couldn't see the thing.
Yeah, and you thought that the other cougar, the smaller one, had run off to the side when in reality it was standing behind the bigger one.
Guys, they're not like deer or elk where they stand together. I mean, this thing must have been crouching behind the big one, waiting to see what the big one was going to do. I mean, was it going to come towards me or was it going to run away? I'm thinking the one in the back was just kind of seeing how it was all going to play out,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the other one. And no, he wasn't even in the sight picture, so yeah. I don't know. That's why when we went down there, I had my gun out. I thought the other one could still be around there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we finally come. I drug it back up to the other one, and then we talked about it. I go, you know, I'm just going to have to call a game warden and just tell them what it is and just live with whatever happens. Hope I can get the cougar and not take my bow and stuff, you know, but yeah. Whatever. I go, you know, it's just because you got to get them sealed anyhow, and you got to talk to them anyhow, and we didn't feel we did anything super wrong anyhow. So
right.
That's what we did. We went back to camp, got him back, called the game warden. I called him. I told him, hey, I got a problem here. He goes, really, what's your problem? He goes, I shot these two cougars with one arrow. He goes, you did what? I go, yeah, I got these two cougars with one arrow.
I'm sure he gets that a lot.
Yeah. He goes, where are you at? I told him how to get up there, up to camp. She goes, you know what, I'll be there about 40, 45 minutes. So we're waiting for him, you know, and, you know, we're just talking, well, I wonder how this is going to go down, you know. And anyhow, he shows up, started asking questions how we did it and where we were. And I told him the whole thing, you know. And he goes, was it tagged? I go, yeah, it's tagged right here and there. And so he did. He sealed that one and took samples and stuff, and I still didn't know how it was going to go down. And then he goes, Ben, you got tagged? He goes, yeah, I'll just let you tag this one.
Honesty's the best policy.
For being straight up with the guy, you know, and you know, it all worked out.
And it's always good to hear, you know, game wardens giving the hunters the benefit of the doubt because we are the biggest conservationists out there. And, you know, legally he could have been a jerk about it, but, you know, he understood the situation and realized y'all didn't do anything wrong and it could have happened to anybody.
That's what he said. you know, they're hunters and they're human beings too. So they see, you know, they see all those things go down too.
Well, Rod, I mean, the odds of somebody shooting two cougars with one bullet has got to be, you know, astronomical. You did it with an arrow, which just makes it even more incredible. I mean, you can't make this stuff up. But what's even more weird is that both of these cougars were males, and biologically, cougars are very territorial, and males typically don't hang out with other males, so it's just an incredible feat.
Yeah, I know. That's what the game warden said, you know. And, he's going, this is great. And then actually one was, had to be a year older or something older, because he was quite a bit bigger than the other one. So I don't know why those guys were together or how that ever, because that even makes it tougher. I mean, you just don't see two males together hardly ever.
Yeah.
So it was all kind of weird, and that the other one was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. All I was going to say.
Well, so obviously you're getting these things mounted.
Yeah, I'm getting one mounted, and then the other one I'm getting made in a rug, but I just don't have enough room for all the cougars. But, I'm hoping to get them back here another few weeks when I get back. I paid them up front, and I jumped ahead of the line. I go, hey, I'm not a patient guy, so what's it take to get these things done? He goes, you pay me now, and you go ahead of the line. I go, sign me up. So,
there you go.
There you go, yeah.
Well, hey, Rod, it certainly is one heck of a story, man, and you know, we like to cover these crazy things that happen in the outdoors. This is by far one of the most unique that I've ever heard of. Congratulations on the hunt of a lifetime, and also for being up front with the game warden. I'm certainly glad that it all worked out for you, man.
Yes, it did. Thank you very much. I mean, it did work out. I'll remember that forever.
Well, man, we certainly appreciate your time, and I don't know how you're going to top this, but we wish you the best of luck for the rest of the season.
Yep, you too.
All right, there he goes, Rod Noah of Washington State. Incredible story. I mean, shooting two mountain lions with one arrow. Absolutely phenomenal. Well, let's knock out a quick break. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Mike Shelley of Lone Star Ag Credit. You know, land is the one thing they're not making more of, but acquiring that dream piece of hunting or recreational property might be a little bit easier than you thought. And Mike will break that down for us coming up after the break, only on Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show. Cause the wall's been broken, the chains ain't holding, the line's been drawn in the sand, and there's no more lying, the tears ain't crying, baby, won't you take my hand?
I use my pickup a lot for work and play, so I needed something that would protect my truck bed through the world of abuse I put it through. A buddy of mine suggested Tough sprayed-on bed liners. He swore by them, said they were better than the other guys, and they'd make my truck look good. Tough, huh? He said, yep, spelled T-O-F-F. So I went to the website, toughliners.com. They can spray any truck, and they've got four locations in DFW. I'm glad my buddy turned me on to Tough. It's strong, it's durable, it's Tough. Ask for Tough sprayed-on bed liners.
You wouldn't take a mule to the Kentucky Derby, and you wouldn't go swimming with your boots on. So why do folks wear mossy green camo to hunt the Great Southwest? Game Guard Camouflage is celebrating 10 years of putting hunters undercover in the rugged Texas terrain. Owner Craig Smith invites you to visit a dealer near you to check out the full line of hunting apparel, caps, bags, coolers, gun cases, dove hunting belts, and the newly designed microfiber shirts. Available in 13 different colors. So whether you're hunting, camping, fishing, or just enjoying the great outdoors, Game Guard has you covered. Visit GameGuard.net to find a dealer near you or call 888-381-4263. Game Guard, the official camo of the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
We all need a friend in the gun business, and that's why you should check out B&S Guns. Family owned and operated since 1987, we offer a lifetime warranty on all firearm purchases. At B&S, we have a gunsmith on staff at all times, and our 5,000 square foot building contains all your hunting and firearm needs. Open 7 days a week, we specialize in Nikon, Leopold, Browning, Remington, Swarovski, Benelli, Zeiss, and many more. Conveniently located in Garland, call 972-226-1816 or visit bsgunstore.com. That's bsgunstore.com.
All right, listen up, all you Texas outdoorsmen and women. SDS Outdoors is a top-tier manufacturer and distributor of high-quality, feature-rich, luxury outdoor products. Their product lines include luxury deer blinds, deer blind windows, gun range towers, bow fishing boats, and a whole lot more.
Call SDS Outdoors at 214-551-1530 or check them out online at www.sdsoutdoors.com. Chevy Silverado has been recognized by Vincentric for lowest total cost of ownership of any full-sized pickup. Based on factors like depreciation, fuel, and maintenance, visit your local Chevy dealer to find out why the Silverado is a smart choice. Based on Vincentric U.S. 2012 model level analysis.
This is Justin Bowerman. You're listening to Cable Smith on the Lone Star Outdoor Show.
It's called deer meeting. This is how it goes. Well, you get up one morning with all the sun. Walk to the woods with Grandpa's gun. You climb up in a tree quiet as a mouse. Knock him in the head, drag him back to the house.
Great stuff there from our buddy Justin Bowerman, bringing us back on Cabela's Lone Star Outdoor Show, powered by Hoff Power Polaris. Deer meat's the name of that one. Hope that y'all are putting plenty of deer meat away as the Texas bow season has kicked off. I'm Cable Smith, welcoming everybody back to the presentation. This segment of the show is proudly brought to you by Cabela's, where you can stop in to experience legendary selection and service. Let expert outfitters show you all the newest hunting, fishing, and camping gear, as well as the best in authentic outdoor apparel and footwear at tough-to-beat prices. And you'll get free shipping when you shop online and ship your order to one of Cabela's three great Texas locations. For over 50 years, Cabela's, world's foremost outfitter. Well, let's go ahead and welcome our next guest to the show. He's a longtime friend of ours, and whenever we need to talk about land acquisition, i.e. acquiring that dream hunting or recreational piece of property, we call on Mike Shelley of Lone Star Ag Credit. And so, Mike, thanks for dropping in today, man.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, it certainly is my pleasure, man. And before we get into land acquisition, let's talk a little hunting here. Have you had a chance to get out and do any bow hunting yet?
Yeah, I did a little bit. The last bow hunting I did was back in late February in Laredo. We went javelina hunting, and it was the wildest time. I've seen more javelinas down there this past year than I've ever seen in one trip. It was just a 3-day hunt, but so we had a good trip. We killed our limit there, and so that's really the last bow hunting I've done. I'm a little rusty now that season started. I'm gonna get out and practice in the backyard some more.
Right on. And I also know that you're on a deer and black bear lease up in Oklahoma.
Yes sir, we're about an hour north of Broken Bow, and we've got allegedly deer. They're not coming to the feeder, but we've got plenty of black bears up there, so I'm looking forward to that.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to seeing a picture of you with a big black bear boar this season. But to start things off, let's get into the main differences between buying land versus residential property like your house.
Sure. Yeah, generally speaking, with a residence, with a primary residence, you're borrowing money from a from a mortgage broker, and those loans are sold on the secondary market, really even before the ink is dry. But with land, there is no such thing as a secondary market. So whoever finances it, you're financing it with someone who's keeping it on their books. And so there's a little difference there with respect to how the loan's originated and then how it's serviced.
Uh-huh.
And then there's some nuances, some differences between, whether it's a farm credit bank like Lone Star Ag Credit or a commercial bank or whomever that are pretty apparent once you get into it. But that's the biggest difference. Because the loans aren't sold, the terms are generally a little different. The biggest couple of questions I get are, right off the bat when I get a call is, okay, what's the down payment required? And then, what are the rates? How do they differ from mortgage rates? So,
uh-huh.
Generally speaking, when you're purchasing land, you'd want to be prepared, for 20 to 25% down is pretty typical. And then rates are going to depend on, who finances it, obviously, but, they're different than what you'd find in the mortgage world if you were purchasing your home, financing your home. Here, they can range, anywhere on the low end from, 3 to 3.5, and up on the higher end, up 5.5 to 6, depending on the terms of the loan, how long you amortize the note, how long you fix it,
uh-huh.
and those sort of things.
Okay. Well, Mike, obviously, land is the one thing they're not making any more of. It's becoming harder and harder to get. So, when someone is ready to take that next step and say, buy a recreational piece of hunting property, And that's the goal. I mean, that's what we all want. But there are some pitfalls associated with that, and I'd like for you to, you know, kind of give our listeners an idea of what to look out for.
Well, land ownership is obviously unique. There are different different things to be aware of and so forth when you're talking about owning land versus, you know, owning a home in town or what have you. But I suppose the best advice I could give is probably find an agent to represent you that is familiar with and sells a lot of land, because they're going to be able to tell you what issues you could run into with respect to easements or frontage, or what's going on in the area. Are there any, you know, developments on the horizon nearby and that sort of thing? So those are things you want to be cognizant of, and a good agent and a good local agent is the best place to start for that. And you know, you would expect that it could take you some time. Be patient when you're looking and make sure you get what you want. But finding a good local agent that specializes in land and farms and so forth, that's the best piece of advice I could give you.
Okay. And Mike, another obvious question that potential land buyers would want to know is, how is farm credit different from other financial institutions?
Well, farm credit's nationwide, and it's broken down well regionally and then almost down to the county level. So for instance, Lone Star Ag Credit has a charter in 33 counties in North Texas, and we generally operate in those counties, Dallas, Fort Worth, in the surrounding areas, essentially where we operate. But Farm Credit is a co-op. So when you borrow money from Farm Credit or from Lone Star Ag Credit specifically, you're buying an ownership. You're required to buy stock in the bank, and and that's a nominal amount, but we're actually owned and operated by our borrowers. The directors are borrowers elected by the remaining borrowers and so forth. And so the idea there is, with any co-op, when you're profitable, to return some of those earnings back to your stockholders, in this case, back to our customers. So, for instance, if you'd had a loan with Lone Star Ag Credit in 2012, this spring you would have got we call it a patronage check. It's very similar to a dividend check, but would have been about 1% of your loan balance in 2012. So,
awesome.
So it really does help lower your financing cost quite a bit, and you've got some ownership in the company that you do business with here.
Very cool. And what is y'all's website if any of our listeners want to look you up?
Sure, you can find us at LoneStarAgCredit.com.
Awesome. Well, Mike, it's always great to talk land ownership with you. I mean, land acquisition, that's the goal for so many of us outdoor-minded folks out there. So thanks again for your time, and I will be looking forward to that Black Bear invite coming up sometime this season.
Yeah, I don't know. How fast do you run? That'll be the question.
All right, brother.
Appreciate you having us on. Thanks a lot.
All right, there he goes, Mike Shelley from Lone Star Ag Credit. We appreciate his time today, as well as our other guests, of course, Razor Dobbs from Razor Dobbs Alive, as well as Rod Noah, the Washington hunter who arrowed 2 mountain lions with 1 shot. Absolutely incredible. We'll do it again same time, same place next week, and we'll actually have Whiskey Myers frontman Cody Cannon in studio. We'll hear some brand spanking new Texas music, as well as talk some hunting with him, among other things. So be sure to tune in for that. Thanks to all of our sponsors for making this show possible. Thanks to you, the listener, for being a part of Cabela's Lone Star Outdoors Show. Until next time, I'm Cable Smith saying y'all have a great week in the outdoors.
Did you know there's a bank that will pay you to be its customer? That's right. Lone Star Ag Credit is a cooperative, and since it's owned by its stockholders, pays millions in dividends each year. That's free money to every borrower. Lone Star Ag Credit serves people all over Northeast Texas, assuring you competitive interest rates on real estate loans, rural home loans, livestock and farm and ranch loans. Contact Lone Star Ag Credit today at 800-530-1252 or on the web at LoneStarAgCredit.com. Equal housing lender.
Hey y'all, Cable Smith here for Tioga Retrievers. As bird hunters, we expect the most out of our gun dogs. And that's why I sent my sweet girl Belle to Angie and Tim Becker at Tioga Retrievers. Not only were her manners and obedience spot on in the blind and in the field, but Belle picked up over 200 birds in her first season. So whether you want a well-rounded hunting dog or just a well-mannered companion for the home, Tioga Retrievers has you covered. Located in Aubrey, Texas, visit TiogaRetrievers.com. That's T-I-O-G-A Retrievers.com.
Coons Canyon Ranch in Rock Springs, Texas specializes in exotics such as axis deer and black buck. Coons Canyon offers quality animals at a price the working man can afford. Right now, save 10% on any package of multiple animals. Military personnel, police, and firefighters also get 10% off. Lodging is available upon request, as are other exotic species. Visit CoonsCanyonRanch.com for your next exotic trophy hunt. That's CoonsCanyonRanch.com.
Howdy Outdoors fans, Michael Curvey, Internet Manager at Graf Chevrolet. We're proud to be the official dealership of the Lone Star Radio Show. We have a large selection of new Chevys starting at just $12,999. Lowest overhead means lowest price in North Texas. We'll beat any price on a new Chevy guaranteed. Drive a little, save a lot. Chevys are cheaper in Grand Prairie. Call 800-560-3518 or shop online 24-7 at GrafChevrolet.com. Graf Chevrolet, serving Texas Outdoors fans since 1952. Chevy runs deep.